And we welcome you to another Teague Bible Church podcast with Pastor, Teacher, Jim Petty. May the Spirit of God minister to you through the message from the Word of God.
Hello, this is the men's breakfast we're having this morning with Coach Anthony Branch being our speaker for today. Hope you enjoy.
Well, I was here, from, I would say, 2004, 2005 to about 2009. And then, Terry has known me longer because I actually stayed at the house in 2002, 2003. I took a coaching job down here at Mahayan. And so the people I was going to live with, their house wasn't ready. They were living in a trailer house or a fifth wheel out there in Terry's land. So I was staying with them. So they said, well, just stay in the room here. And so I've known Terry for a while back at Mahayan. So, but most of you guys I've been around and y'all have all had quite an impact in my life being here at this church. And what Jimmy's done for me is truly, truly amazing. And he taught me the Word of God when I first got here. Didn't know what the Bible was. Like I said, I'm a high school coach. I coach girls basketball. I've been doing it. This is my 16th year. And I enjoy it. You know, I never thought I'd coach girls basketball. I've had the opportunity to enjoy coaching girls. Sometimes a lot of guys that I went to school with, they'll go, why are you coaching girls? Don't you want to coach guys? And I go, you know, I thought I'd never coach girls, but now being around them more, they really do appreciate it when someone does stuff for them. They appreciate having a male role model there. And a lot of the girls that I do coach, especially at Cameron where I'm at now, a lot of them don't have father figures in their lives. And so, I'm pretty much it. So it's a job that's, it's really not a job. I think it's more of a fun career, a fun time I get to have with the kids and kind of be that positive role model for them and kind of let them know how they should be treated, how a man should treat them as being a father. And hopefully that they'll look back when they graduate that they'll go, you know, I remember how Coach Branch had treated me and I want to find someone that's going to treat me the same way and take care of me and look out for my well-being. And a lot of times the girls, you know, they look for someone who's, you know, they end up either beating on them or cheating on them or downright verbal abusing them. And they're so used to that from their homes. And they're, so it's a really important, I think it's really important thing that I get to do. And then on top of that, be that role model as a Christian and hopefully that they'll follow in those footsteps and want to learn the Word and do well and just be a positive influence on other people when they get older and also on their children. So, I'm just real fortunate at what I get to do. And every single day to see, you know, and not just the coaching aspect, but also with in my classroom. A lot of our kids, like I said, they have some horrible home lives. And the kids that have the mom and dad, you know, those are the kids. Everybody wants to get those kids. You know, everybody wants to teach those kids. And that's great and that's easy. But it's the kids that don't have that family structure. They don't have the parents telling them what's right and what's wrong, how to act, how to handle when you deal with adversity. Those kids, they don't know how to do that. And, for example, with our junior high athletic periods and even high school, you know, we're doing sprints. We're trying to get them into shape and build a program and make them competitive. But more importantly, they're learning about themselves. They're learning how to deal with things when it is very difficult. And not all the kids make it through the running because it's just too much. And they're so used to the negative attitude that if it gets hard, they'll just fold up and quit. And we've had a few that have done that the last 2 years. But we've kept more out there that I thought wouldn't make it. And so even though sometimes they're not given all that they have and that I want them to give at that time, they're still hanging around because they know that there's something that they don't have at home that they're getting at the school, whether through athletics or anything else that I'm associated with. So, when Jimmy asked me to come talk, I guess, kind of talk about how I build my team and how I build my program and what I'm trying to do, I kind of talk about that and how it fits into helping these kids to get where they need to get. But one of the things I kind of start out with is, of course, is having that dream and having a vision for our program. And as a basketball coach, of course, we want to win championships. We talk about winning championships and not just tournaments, but winning championships and playoffs and advancing and eventually winning that state championship as a basketball coach. But within that framework, we're building champions, not only to put banners, but building champions with these kids. We're getting them to believe in themselves, getting them to work hard, to instill that work ethic in them because of, all the problems that they deal with. They may see their mom and dad or uncle, whoever it is that's on poverty, that, they're not wanting to go out and be successful. They would rather, sit back and just whatever's given to them, they'll take. And these kids see that. So they understand if you're going to win championships, it's not just done because you snap your fingers because you want to. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it. There's a lot of pain and a lot of sacrifice. So we're instilling that we want to win championships, but at the same time, we're also instilling in them that, hey, we want to win this, but it's going to be a price that you can't pay with money. You have to do it with your heart and with effort and work ethic. And the kids that I've coached that have gone through the program, it seems like they've always been successful. I always hear that they're doing well, that they're educated, they've married good people, being good wives, being good mothers. So I think that part of our program, where I've coached them, that they have acquired some of those skills. They've learned how to become tougher and how to, handle the adversity. So, and I'm still young enough that I still have some of them come back and tell me, they're still early and they're, 20, 25 years old. They hadn't quite gotten to where they're 30, where they start really going back going, and Coach Branch really did a lot for me. But I've had a few that have come back that really understand, what I was trying to do for them and what our program was about. So, once we get through our phase of our program as far as our vision, then we start, I communicate with the teachers and the staff. And the great thing that we have at Cameron is we have such a tremendous support system. And I think with any association, no matter if it's a church, a school, business, whatever it is, you've got to have a support system where people are willing to back you. They're going to let you do your job and do what you need to do to build a program, but at the same time, they're going to support you. And I know talking with Terry when I first got to Mahia, we had a great support system. When I was at Wortham, had a great support system, and you had great leadership there. And so it allowed me to do my job and to build the program that I see that needed to be built. And at Cameron, it's the same thing. We have that there, great support system. So, and then once you have all those things, you got to have the right people, coaches, and obviously sometimes as a girls basketball coach, you're just given whoever you have. ADs can go and hire their coaches and bring people in, but me, I have to pretty much take who's there. I'm very fortunate where I'm at is we've got some good coaches, probably the best coaching staff I've had on the girls' side at any place. And if you don't bring them in, you've got to get them to buy into what you want done. And some of the things I've done, I'll take, for example, my assistant. She's been doing it 37 years. She's been at, I think, Cameron 31 years or something like that. And she can easily retire. And a lot of times the girls give her a lot of grief. She kind of gets frustrated at handling some of them. And she was in a position where she was by herself a lot. And so with 50-something girls in athletics, 7th grade and 8th grade, 50-something kids, she's almost by herself. It was, we weren't giving her the help. So finally this year we've got more help. We got coaches in there, and I've talked to the administration about doing that. Our AD made sure we had that. So it's helped her. But when I first came in, you know, I was told by an outgoing coach that, you know, had gone to school there. She was leaving Cameron to go somewhere else. She had had, you know, this coach as her junior high coach, and she raved about how smart she was and how much she knew. And before I talked to the outgoing assistant, I talked to the outgoing head coach, and she just bashed the coach, just ripped her to shreds, saying she wasn't any good, she needs to retire. And I just said, you know, I'm not going to treat her like that. And so when I first met the assistant coach, you know, my assistant, I went to her and I said, I've heard a lot of great things about you. And she was just, you know, her eyes were wide open, like, are you kidding me? And so I went to explain to her, say, you know, how much, you know, knowledge you have to share. And this lady has been amazing. She's probably one of the best assistant coaches I've had. She just jumps on things. She's willing to do whatever. And, you know, I was real glad and honored that I was able to help her get one of the 1A, 2A, 3A TGCA Assistant Coach of the Year for basketball, which it's our Coaches Association for the girls' side. It just deals with girls' sports only. So when she got that award, to see her 30-something years, she's never been a head coach, to see her get that was really unique and something that I can take when I retire, look back that, you know, I was real glad that she got to experience someone recognizing that her value. And I think that's one of the things as a head coach, you've got to, you know, there's people who are willing to do well and they want to do well. And I think a lot of times we don't give them the tools they need to be successful. We don't put them in situations to be successful. We don't value them. So just simple as telling them, hey, I've heard a lot of good things about you, and constantly telling her, hey, you are doing a tremendous job. It's amazing the kind of work what she has done for us and what she has meant for our girls. And now I see the girls starting to respect her, especially the high school girls who had her in junior high, and now they have her at the high school. You know, they just have so much more respect for her. And so it's just amazing to see what you can do when you're trying to, you know, get these people on your program and just, you know, tell them what a great job they're doing and just remind them throughout the whole year how great they are and just thankful that, you know, that they're there and that they're helping us achieve our goal with our program. And so, and I do it with the girls, you know, coming into a new place, you've got to get those kids on your side, and not all of them are going to really hear your message. And, but the ones that do and stick around, you don't know what kind of an impact you are having them every single day. And they may not show it, but they are listening to every single word that you're telling them. So I'm just fortunate enough that they're following along and doing everything I ask them to do, and we put them through tough situations, you know, really get them, demand a lot from them physically, put them through mentally. We really challenge them, and it's just amazing to see the growth. You know, I was telling them from last year to this year how much that the message I'm sending is starting to get there. But it's slowly. It's very slow. It's not going to take, you know, it's not going to take like this and you're instantly going to win or instantly going to get them all converted, because they're going to fight you. You know, they're teenagers and they're going to fight you. And when you're putting them through tough situations, I hear, you know, like we were running wind sprints the other day on the football field doing conditioning. And I hear some of the younger kids, they're complaining and whining. And then we got the kids who have been with me for one full year that actually get it. And they're working hard. And I know they don't want to be out there. It's hot. And these other ones, they haven't been through that. And I always tell them, hey, girls, you either got to be with us. If you don't, you don't have to be here. But I want you to stay here. You know, I always tell them, I want you to be here, but you got to understand that this is what needs to be done. I'm here to help you be better. And if you don't want this, then this is, you know, not for you. But if you want to become good, this is what it's going to take. And, you know, and they grumble. They grumble. But you know what? I haven't had anybody just walk out and leave. So I think the message is getting to them, but it's very slow and it's not moving at the pace I want. But I think what Jimmy, I always remember saying, he said, it's not on your time, it's on God's time. And you know, you want this to happen, you want this to do well, and you want this to be successful and be this great thing. But sometimes God tells you, you know, no, it's not time yet. And I think about the first few years, and Terry can attribute to this, that Mahia, my 3 years there, we were awful. We were absolutely pathetic. And I didn't know how to really handle that, the losing and dealing with everything. But I had referees tell me, Coach, your team looks so much better. They're disciplined. You know, I had our guy that used to call the radio games there, he's down at College Station working for the newspaper there, very smart guy. And he you know, when he knew I was leaving, he said, Coach, I've seen a lot of coaches come through here, but what you did with that girls' program, I know you wanted to win more, but you did more than you can ever imagine. And, you know, and here I was, everything I was doing, I was basing it off of my wins. Oh, wins, wins, wins. I really wasn't getting it at that time, what I was really here for, what I was doing. And lo and behold, I go to Wortham, and we were successful. We had some success. And so after 5-6 years there, I move on to Farmersville. And it's funny how God will put you in a situation that He slaps you around and says, hey, you need to go through this. I had every parent mad at me all the time. It was the worst situation I'd ever been in, at least, you know, as far as having support, had no support, and the parents were always griping about every little thing. And so when I left and I come down here to Cameron and I look at my team, and I didn't think we'd win 5 games. We ended up winning 16. And to think about after, I think, the first 5 games, I just finally had to sit down and say, you know, I've got to understand God's put me here for a reason. And it's not something that's going to be done instantly. It's got to take time. It's got to take time, and you can't rush it. And you got to look at every little step and realize, okay, let's take the next step. Let's take the next step. Take the next step. And I look at where our girls' basketball program at Cameron is, where it is now compared to last year. Last year at this time, they couldn't even make a quarter of the workout during our strength conditioning class time. They were dying. They were just mouthing, mad, you know, bad attitudes. And now this year, we're starting to make it through those tough times. And I'm not backing down from them. And they're, a lot of the kids are accepting it. Some of them are still struggling, but they're still out there. And so I understand the steps that God has me there for, what I'm trying to do there. But it's kind of like it's clicked. It's finally clicked in understanding that take steps. Don't worry about the big numbers. People are going to come out. People are going to end up joining the program because everybody always talks about the numbers of the program. And I think we had 24. We may have just 24 again this year, but I'm seeing more kids wanting to come to play. And to me, that's where my program is starting to show. It's starting to build because people are going to want to be a part of that when they see what we're doing. And that they see that what the gains they're getting and all the support that they do get from me and how I do treat them. You know, they want to be a part of that. And so I just real thankful God has allowed me to be a coach. You know, I didn't realize what I was going to be until I was in high school. I was pretty lucky to figure it out. And I went through a lot of, I can't tell you how many setbacks I've had. I've had more setbacks in my life than I've had probably, you know, successes as far as, you know, accolades. And there's a lot of coaches that have won multiple state championships. They've had, you know, this great talent. But to me, I have never had great talent. I've had to build it. But I look back, I don't think I would appreciate what I do have now. And I don't think I would be quite the coach today if I had been given that instant gratification and had, hey, you know, first year you're going to win a state championship, and You know, we all think that as we graduate college, we get that first head job. That's your thought. Well, we're going to win. I don't care, you know, what they did last year. And then you realize, oh, geez, you know, what you've got yourself into. And now you got to say, okay, well, I got to find a way to deal with that. How are we going to deal with that? And, you know, all the experiences I've had have really, you know, formed my opinion as a coach, or formed my philosophy, and then also formed my life and how much better off I was, you know, the previous year. Every year I'm building. And, you know, just like with a church, when you're trying to build a church, you know, I think I always talk to Jimmy, I always say, it's about quality instead of quantity. Don't worry about numbers. Worry about what you have here. Because if you go worrying about the numbers, then you're not focusing on the real goal and what the task at hand that you've been given. You know, here is your task. You know, you're put there for a reason. You know, and what we end up doing is, as coaches and even as people in organizations, we're like, well, no, that, I want that task. That's what I want to be. Well, no, this is your task. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to fulfill. This, you know, there's a reason for you to be in this position, whether it's a coach, business leader, community leader, within the church, whatever it is, you're given a responsibility to perform a task. And so, you know, just you got to accept it. And that's what I do myself and also with the coaches. I tell our kids, you know, accept this position and do the best you can. And if it's, you know, if God wants you to be in that position, He'll put you there. But you can't get to that position until you've experienced all these other things in order to prepare you for that. You know, and it's just like as a head coach. You can't be a successful head coach until you've been an assistant and been through all these different things. Because if you just jump right in out of college and you're a head coach, or if you graduate, whatever it is, you can't go right to the top. And a lot of times the kids these days, they think you're just going to go right to the top and make all this money and do all these things, and you really don't. And sometimes as adults, even the coaches, they want to be the head coach. And it's like, no, this is your job. This is where you need to be right now. And eventually, if it's God's will and that's what He wants you to do, then yes, you'll get that opportunity. But just so many things have prepared me for being in the situation I'm in. And I don't think I'd be the coach I am today if I had not dealt with what I went through at Mahia. I learned so much from those girls. And when I see the girls, I've seen them when they were in state tournament last year, I saw them all. And for some reason, I was on them. I chewed them all the time. They come to me. They still talk to me. And they were like, Coach, how you doing? And first thing I'll tell them, I said, girls, I got to apologize. I'm sorry the way I treat you. Oh, no, Coach, no big deal. I said, no, it is a big deal. I didn't treat you right. I said, but you girls prepared me for what I'm having to do now. Y'all made me understand what I have to do in Cameron. You know, we have the same kind of kids. You know, we've got kids in poverty. You've got Hispanic, black, white. And so it's really, really neat to have gone through all those experiences and know that I still have made an impact on their lives. And so I'm trying to think. There was one kid, one of my kids at Wortham, Coach Church, who graduated in 2011, and me and her butted heads. I'm telling you, we butted heads over and over, but I loved coaching her because she was hard-nosed, she was tough, and I told her if she'd have played football, she'd have been a linebacker, and she'd have been darn good at it. But we were at Franklin last year, and it's, you know, here is 2 years later, and Wortham is in that tournament. We didn't play him, but my old player's up there, and she watches me coach, and afterwards she goes, Coach, you're not the same. You've gotten soft in your old age. And I go, no, Lauren, what I've learned is how to be a better coach. I said, when I coached you, I wasn't near as good as I am now. And 2 years from now, I'll be better then than what I am right now. I said, I've learned how to be a better communicator with kids. I said, I wish I'd have been better with you than I was back then. And she's just like,
"No, coach, you know, she's that hard nose. She's, oh, no, you coach me. I just didn't want to listen." I said, "Yeah, but I could have done it better for you." So to see kids see that you have changed and is really something. And like I said, it's just, I'm very fortunate to, you know, to be a coach. And I was very fortunate to be in this area and very fortunate, of course, to be here at this church when I was here. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I learned here at this church, you know. And I tell Jimmy before that when I went to church, it was pull the old lever, you get your 20-minute sermon, and you go home, and that's it. And there was no living Christian life. You didn't influence me. And now, having been away from here, I haven't found that again that is here, that is here at this church. And having been away from this church, and to come back, and, you know, I think I told Jimmy one day, I said, there isn't anything close to what I had there. But I also know there's a reason why I'm not here, is to go serve those kids. And that I do know that I'll find it somewhere else. And so, just like I said, you guys are, you know, thankful the opportunity I had to be here, and not just today, but in the past, and having gone to church here. So, yeah, I've got a great thing here, and just continue what you're doing. And just remember, it's about the quality and not so much the quantity. How do, you know, Jimmy asked, how do I keep myself encouraged when there are some tough times? You know, I just think of the big picture. What is the big picture? You know, as a coach, you know, our like I told you, my vision, you know, we want to win championships. And understand that championships are not easy. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would get championship rings and have banners and everything. But in order to really enjoy the victory of that vision and get to that ultimate goal, you have to go through very difficult times. And it is very tough. And you have to constantly remind yourself, hey, I got to remember the big picture. I got to remember the big picture. And it is very difficult because you think you're losing, and it may be one, but you got to remember there's a whole bunch of others that you're really winning. You know, and I'll take example of, I may have a really good basketball player. Here it is, her senior year, she decides not to play because she wants to focus on another sport because she thinks she's going to get a scholarship in this other sport. And you're going, do you realize that you're letting your teammates down? They're counting on you. I'm counting on you. Our program's counting on you. And you just go, hey, if you don't want to play, that's your decision. You're going to regret not playing. 10 years from now, you're going, man, I should have played. But that's okay. I got all these other girls that are looking at me. How am I going to react by her not playing? Well, I'm going to react. It's no big deal. We'll move on. And if they see you handle that in that regard, they're going to say, okay, we're going to be fine. And, yeah, it's difficult. Probably another really good example is thinking of when parents are griping at you. And when I was at my... The reason why I had parents gripe at me is because I was stupid. I made the mistakes. It wasn't anything that they did wrong, and they had a right to come gripe at me. But when I went to Farmersville, I had it seemed like every parent would gripe at me all the time. And it was it was never about anything I did. It was playing time, playing time, playing time. That's what it boiled down to. And it frustrated me. But then I finally got to a point of, it's only these few, but there's all these other ones that are looking at me and seeing, how am I going to react to those girls? How am I going to react to those parents? Are they going to see me fold under pressure like they've seen the other coaches? And I did. I didn't fold under pressure. You know, we did well. I think a lot of people were surprised on how well we did. And, you know, the reason why I left is because I had a better opportunity down at Cameron. So, but just, you have to see the big picture when there's an adversity. You got to take a step back. And like I said, there's always going to be you're going to always have issues. You're always going to have setbacks. I mean, you think about, you know, what Jesus Christ did and what he had to deal with. How many setbacks did he have? And he was just preaching the truth. He was preaching the word as like he was supposed to. He had so many setbacks. So many setbacks in his lifetime. But in the end, he saw the big picture. He saw the big picture. And that's how I deal with the setbacks and stuff. So.
Anybody else have a question? All right. Andy, we appreciate you coming. And thank you so much for coming to us and coming all that way. And just to bless us. We need work, but you can't
be. I will. Like I told you, the experience here, I miss having that good church home that you're getting, you know, fed. And when you have that, man, take and run with it. Enjoy it. Because when you don't have it, it's difficult. It's difficult to, you know, because you're almost, it's like you're by yourself when you don't have that somewhere. So when you go to a church, you know, I got a church home I go to, but it's just not, it's not feeding me the way I need to be fed. And so you guys, very fortunate to have what you guys have. And what an amazing group of guys here and the ladies here, all your wives and your kids, just, you know, really good here. So I'm glad I got the opportunity to come back and eat breakfast and hang out and just kind of talk about how I'm doing. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.